What's up, guys? It is after tax season, so I just got done reviewing a couple hundred returns, and we pick up on a lot of missed tax deductions. So I think that now would be a good time to fill you in on some of the things that we see being missed. Most people don't even know that how to create certain deductions, and other clients and other people we meet just haven't taken the time and don't have the energy to record all these things, or maybe they're not keeping good records, or maybe they just don't care enough, even though they should. So I'm going to walk you through some key tax deductions that we see business owners and real estate investors miss, and maybe you'll find some opportunities and realizations on some of the deductions you've missed. Let's get into it. First one I want to talk about here is insurance. I think that this is something that clients don't really think about. If they're making a mortgage payment and the insurance is in there going out to in their mortgage payments, they just don't realize that it's a tax deduction. And so often there's thousands of dollars of insurance deductions just completely missed because the client doesn't think about it. So what you want to do here is just be aware that almost every rental property, every rental property I've seen should have some form of an insurance deduction. Sometimes the insurance deduction is recorded on your form 1098, which records your mortgage interest if you're paying it through the bank, and other times it isn't. You got to make sure you're capturing your insurance deduction in every situation. Don't miss out on this nice tax deduction. It's cash leaving your pocket. Next one is taxes. And I understand why. Because we are filing your taxes. Some people think and they misunderstand the purpose of a tax return and the treatment of local property taxes. So if you were paying property taxes, those property taxes are a dollar for dollar deduction against your state and federal taxes. So what you want to do here is, again, be aware that this is a tax deduction at the very least. And what we do is a lot of times when it's the first year you purchase that property, you're paying those property taxes up front. So if a client doesn't tell us what the taxes are, we will go into and inspect those closing statements. And oftentimes we will find the property taxes that were paid before the property was even deeded over to the client. And as long as the client paid for it as part of their closing, then we're good to go and we can write off those property tax deductions, which can be very significant depending on the location of the property where the client is purchasing. Other times as well, sometimes we'll also even see that property tax deduction being shown on the 1098. Just to backtrack a little bit here, the property taxes and the insurance are also qualified deductions if you have a home office. So if you have a home office, whatever portion of your home is dedicated to that business, that percentage can be deductible from which you're paying interest in taxes on your properties. Now, those property taxes, insurance and taxes to your property. Now, the taxes on your property may also be deductible on your Schedule A, but you're limited to a $10,000 deductibility of state and local taxes against your federal taxes. And there is no limit when you deduct it as a home office. So it likely will be more valuable there. Now let's get into another one, which is depreciation. And this is we see this when you're self-preparing your own tax returns. If you're self-preparing your own tax returns and you're trying to do this on a whim and cut a couple costs, there's a good chance that you didn't think about writing off the depreciation of your rental properties or other types of properties in your business. There's a good chance that you just plugged in all the numbers and didn't think about the potential impact of the deductibility of your real estate depreciation. We will also occasionally see other CPAs forget to depreciate their clients' real estate and other properties as well, which can be just disastrous because they're missing out on a huge savings. When you sell the property, the IRS assumes depreciation recapture based on the purchase date. And then to get back that depreciation after years of missing out, We have to do a very cumbersome form, form 3115, do all sorts of accounting adjustments and charge the client an additional fee for that. When it comes to depreciation as well, there's potentially some missed opportunities with cost segregation. So straight, you got that straight line depreciation, right? You're depreciating the real estate over 27.5, 39 years, which is what most accountants will do when they see the real estate and depreciate it. A lot of people fail to identify whether or not to do cost segregation study. I'm not going to dive too deep into this because honestly, I mentioned cost segregation study in almost all of my podcasts and webinars. So obviously you'll accelerate depreciation with the cost and get the losses. And what some people miss is if you have passive income from other sources, that depreciation may help to offset the passive income, even if you don't have rep status. That's a whole other conversation, though, in tax planning. And we're going to stick to the topic because I can go in all different directions riffing on passive income and depreciation. So let's move on and talk about travel. A lot of folks forget to realize that they can deduct their mileage. They can also deduct the use, the actual cost of their vehicle. It's one or the other. So what you want to think about here is what is going to give you the best tax deduction? What makes most sense for your business? Do you want to have the mileage deduction rate, which for 2023 is going to be 65.5 cents per mile? If you have a cheap car, that might make perfect sense for you because your car's not going to have a whole lot of depreciation if it has a low value to it. If you only got it for $3,000, not a lot of meat on the bone. But if the car is over 6,000 pounds, and if you've heard me talk long enough, you know that that qualifies for bonus depreciation. Also, if it's an expensive car, a higher-end car that we can put in the business and depreciate over 5 years, it still may be a more valuable tax deduction than just getting that mileage deduction. But what most people miss here is that you can only do one or the other. You're either getting your mileage deduction or your actual deduction. You can't do both, one or the other. And oftentimes we will record all your actual expenses and the mileage. And then at the end of the year, we'll evaluate what makes most sense for the taxpayer. Next, let's talk about meals. Meals. We oftentimes find that clients completely forget about writing off their business meals. Sometimes they just don't have the time. Other times they don't know what qualifies. We really want to see that you have a predetermined business meeting for the purpose of networking, planning, or discussing a specific topic. Write a little details around the meeting around your receipt. Now, this was a wonderful deduction in 2021 and 2022 because you were able to write 100% off of your business meals. Fantastic. Now, in 2023, we're back to a 50% deductibility of your meals. Not nearly as exciting, but still worth being aware of because you're going to pay for food anyways. Why not get a tax deduction out of it if you can find a legitimate business purpose for this? So often we see clients give us income statements with zero meals deductions at all. And it just shows oftentimes what I suspect is that they're not being proactive. Now, here's another tax deduction where we see it missed all the time, but we can go in and we can make the changes for the client and help you guys out. And that is accounting fees. So the fees that you're paying us to advise you throughout the year and to help you guys out and give you our insight is a tax deductible expense. And when we see legal and professional fees zero on the client's income statements, we know that they're obviously missing something because we've charged them. Hopefully we're charging them enough to generate profit and it is a legitimate expense for the client, but still affordable and a valuable investment. But that is a deductible business expense. So what we do when we see zero legal and professional fees from the client, what we'll do is we'll just go right back into our billing software. We'll record the tax deductibility of our fees. We'll look at the how much they pay us in a year, and we'll just plug that in to their tax return and notify them the adjustment that we've made. Now, here's what I would call kind of a runner-up in this category, where most clients don't have this legitimate expense, but they can and they should. And this is hiring your children in the business. So, and this is a very commonly known strategy. We talk about it all the time. You hire the kid, you pay him up to standard deduction, and that money is untaxed by your child. Funds can be put into a Roth IRA. It grows tax-free. You could use it for college or retirement. It's better than a 529 because you get the deduction up front. 529 is only deductible against some state income when you make your contributions, and you have much more flexibility with a Roth IRA on what you can do with it and how you take the funds out. For all you know, the kids may never want to even go to school, and you have a small window opportunity to take those funds out of the 529 when they're in university. And when, now I said, you know, you can pay them up to the standard deduction with zero taxes on the kids, but why not pay them more? If you're in a 37.5% tax bracket, why not pay the kids $40,000 if you can hire them to legitimately do that work and shift that income from the 37.5 tax bracket into the 10% tax bracket? Why not go all the way with this thing? It's still going to be advantageous for you. It gives your kids a chance to work and make some money, and you get a tax deduction. The overall taxation on these funds is going to be less. So this is just another thing to think about and maybe think a little bit outside of the box. It has to be a legitimate form of work that the kid is providing in your business, and you need to show and document you've treated him just like you would have treated any other employee. There has to be time cards and an agreement, and you have to pay them the fair market value of the services they perform. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, oh, dang it, I want to just pay him 10 grand up front. But this might be a great opportunity too. If you can teach a 15-year-old how to do bookkeeping, you can legitimately pay a 15-year-old $40 an hour for bookkeeping, the fair market value. Keep documents and records to substantiate this, and take advantage of this tax deduction if you can. And it doesn't just have to be kids. You can also do this if you want to support other people you know in lower tax brackets who you want to help out. It could be other family members in lower tax brackets where it still might be making sense for you. I hired my mom, which is cool. She's in a lower bracket. I get the tax deduction. Also, now when I hang out with my mom, we can have business meetings. So we can have tax deductible business meetings at a restaurant, which is pretty cool. Now, some of the downside is I don't get all my mom's home cooking now, because I actually would prefer my mom's home cooking mac and cheese or going out to those restaurants, but I still like the tax deductibility of the opportunity. And I should probably be staying away from that mac and cheese sometimes, because she makes a gigantic pot and I'll just go to town on it. So just some things to think about here, and thinking outside the box and creating tax deductions with your kids and your family, and really being resourceful and using all the available tax deductions you can. Now, if you want to learn more about this, we dive deep with all of our clients into understanding the foundational elements of what is a tax deduction, what does the IRS allow you to deduct, and what is considered legal and reasonable in the eyes of the IRS, and how do we substantiate this, right? We want to have receipts and records and really have tight evidence to substantiate all these tax deductions, because when we're educated, not only can we maximize our deductions, but we can enhance and improve our ability to substantiate these documents, sorry, these write-offs with the proper documentation. Very important. So what is important to you guys who are listening to this is make sure that you're educated and aware of all the available tax deductions. Don't miss a step here, because the time that you invest into optimizing and maximizing your tax deductions is going to create, luckily or hopefully, enough savings here so that the amount of savings you get per hour is greater than the amount that you're earning at your job or your business. And one last thing I want to say here. I was talking to a prospect who makes about $1.7 million, and we already have identified about $75,000 of tax savings will create immediately for just minimal effort, just fixing the entity structure of this client. And this client is the type of person who just likes to go forward, doesn't like to be stuck in the minutia, doesn't really like to be involved in accounting and all the complexities that we do. He wants to be hands off. So one of his objections, he said, was, well, am I going to have to do all this extra work and back and forth? And what I told him is, the time that you have to invest into implementing a tax plan with us is going to save you so much money that when you look at the dollar per hour that you're saving, it's going to be far greater than the amount that you make at your job. Now, this client, even though he makes $1.6 million, we estimated we're going to save him close to $350,000 in taxes in year one. Now, that compounds over 10 years. We're talking about building millions of dollars of wealth, opening those opportunities with tax planning. So yes, you are going to have to invest some time into your tax plan and maximizing your tax deductions, but the dollar per hour that you're saving in taxes will make it all worthwhile. Also consider the fact, if you save $3,000 in taxes, that's much better than earning $3,000 at your job, because that's taxed. That's like earning $4,000 at your job. So it's important that you educate yourself and you're aware of these things and you do not miss out on these wonderful tax deductions and tax saving opportunities. Subscribe for more. If you know anyone who may be interested, tell them to email info@markprobergcpa.com if they're interested in being a team member of ours or being a client. Have a great rest of your day and stay tuned for more great insight.